Praise God. Why don't you just shut your eyes? I love that song. Your promise still stands. Right now, just lift up both hands to the Lord and just declare that your promise still stands, O Lord. You are my faithful God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father, Lord, I pray that you would speak today to every heart. Father, I ask that you would do a new work. Lord God, show us what you're doing. Father, I thank you that even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it, that Lord God, you are still working. Father, have your way today in every life, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you, you know, you've heard of Judah in the Bible? I don't mean some random friend you might know. You've heard of Judah. We're going to have a little interaction here today. Is that all right? Yes. How many of you have heard of Judah? Wave at me if you have. So I want you to tell me, when we think of Judah, we're having a little bit of a lesson first, and then we're going to dive in. When we think of Judah, what are the kind of top three or four things that you know about him or things that come to mind? The most important things when you think Judah, you think what? Shout out. Praise. Let's write praise down. What else when you think Judah? Leader, did someone say? Leader. Praise. Leader. Someone said something else. Lion of the tribe of. Let's just put lion. Anything else? Praise, leader, lion. Anything else? Father of a nation. Absolutely. Father. Praise God. We are going to talk about Judah today. You see, every story in Scripture is there for your sake. Every single story that's told is a story for you. Say it's for me. Say God has something for me. You know, one of the things about our social media society, how many of you know we're living in the social media age? One of the things about our social media society is that we all see everyone else's mountaintops. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We see the mountaintops. We see the picture perfect. I mean, even social media can edit your pictures for you, I was hearing. Isn't that right? And my daughter keeps saying to me, what is wrong with you, mummy? Why can't you just upload something to Instagram without using one of the multitude of kind of different tints of color? And I look at all these different colors. So say, we've got some promotion that we've developed. And then, I'm ready to upload it to Instagram. Honestly, it's so hard not to go, oh, should we have a little pink in it? Tap! Or a little blue in it? Tap! You know what I'm saying? How many of you do that too? Yeah, because everything is there to make everything look a little bit better than it really is. And you see, the trouble with that is that we get a skewed picture of reality. And that can be a real problem. I want to introduce the Judah of Scripture to you. The Judah that we meet in the Bible. And the first thing that we find out about Judah, the very first thing, is that he was a middle child. You know, we recently at Healed for Life, one of the most moving things I've seen in a long time was this woman. She was age 76, and she was one of 16 children. And she didn't ever recollect a time when she really could feel much. Let me just say something. You know, if this expression, I'm not very emotional, I want you to relate that to I can't really hear properly. What do I mean? If I say I'm not very emotional, it's really me explaining that my emotions aren't quite working properly yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, she's telling the truth. Because our emotions were made by God for a purpose. He freely feels and expresses. You know, if pain doesn't move us to tears, then something's blocked off. Just like if you turn the tap on your kitchen sink and nothing comes out, you need the plumber. Amen? And you see, if pain doesn't produce tears in your life, you need the spiritual plumber to come and do a work in your heart and life so that you can be free, so that you and I can be in the image of God. So this 76-year-old woman, she came to Healed for Life. She never has any recollection of feeling anything. She went through life just feeling a bit detached. And at Healed for Life, what God did in one of our breakout sessions, we have two breakout sessions, and at one of them, she came along and God took her back to when she was just 3 years old. And this was when she explained, I was one of 16 children, and I remember standing in the kitchen shouting, will nobody see me? What about me? And yet there was nothing. And that day, something just shut down on the inside. And from that day forth, literally, her emotions shut down. And yet, age 76, this precious woman fell to her knees and broke down weeping as God healed her of that experience and completely set her heart free. You know, it was so powerful, but she was one of 16, which is what, you know, was making me think of it. And she was somewhere lost in the middle of 16. Well, Judah was number four. He was not the firstborn. In a time when firstborns had all the privileges. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And in some cultures, that's still true. But let me tell you, in Bible culture, that's not the way it is. Judah was number four. And he didn't have those natural firstborn privileges. The next thing that we learn about Judas, that's number one, he was the fourth child. Say he was the fourth and not the first. The second thing that we learn about Judah was on that famous day when Joseph's brothers, decided it's time to deal with the dreamer. How many of you know the story of Joseph? Judah had a younger brother who their dad loved more than anyone else, and these men could not handle the jealousy. And it was Judah who was the one that decided, do you know what? Let's make some money out of this schmuck. He was a betrayer. Judah betrayed his little brother. There is something in the heart of siblings that is supposed to protect those who come after us. But this man betrayed his little brother and said, you know, let's make some money. Let's get a quick quid out of this. And so that's the second thing that we hear about Judah. We're going somewhere today and I want you to stay with me. The second thing was that he was a betrayer. Then Judah got married. How many of you here are married? How many want to be married? Turn around and look at others with their hands up. I'm joking. Sorry. So Judah then went through terrible tragedy. Did you know Judah lost two of his three sons that he had? His first son died. And then his second son died. And He must have been completely and utterly broken by the tragedy that he went through. But then that isn't where it stopped. Judah lost 2 sons, and then his wife died too. There's only one other person in Scripture that I know that lost 2 sons and a spouse. And we've got a whole book about Naomi, the book of Ruth. And here we have Judah. He went through terrible tragedy. We're going somewhere today, and I really want you to stay with me. You see, the social media story isn't always the real story behind the scenes. Are you hearing me? Everything that we know about someone isn't always the real truth of what is going on in their lives. So this man was broken. He was bereaved. I have no doubt that he had 1,001 questions for God. You know, you go back and read the story. Genesis chapter 38 is all about Judah. In fact, there are very few times when I've read Scripture and I have had so much compassion for the characters in Scripture that I've broken down and wept. But Judah was one of them. And this man went through tragedy upon tragedy and came out the other side cynical. How do I know this? Well, the next thing that we hear about Judah, number one, he was a middle child. Number two, he betrayed his brother for a quick buck. Number three, he experienced this terrible tragedy. But then the fourth thing that we know about him was that he slept with a woman who looked like a prostitute. He picked up a prostitute. So he was promiscuous. This is still the Judah. Are you looking here? Praise, leader, lion, father, picked up a prostitute. He was so broken. And then after that, and that's in, you can read most of this in Genesis chapter 38. But then there was a season of silence. We don't hear anything about Judah for 4 chapters in Scripture. There is absolutely nothing that we hear about Judah. Now, you see, the thing is, it's very often in those seasons where it seems like nothing is happening when the most is happening, really. I want you to hear that. It's very often the seasons where it seems like least is happening, that the most is really happening. I love that line that I prayed, you know, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working, which is why you and I should stop working. We need to stop working to try and make God's plans happen. You see, I believe this season in Judah's life was his season of surrender. I believe that this was the time when Judah got into the presence of God and he said, I'm going to stop trying to make this happen in my own efforts. You know, I still keep thinking about this story. In fact, the bunch in Israel, the harvest group in Israel, went to Mount Carmel, where there was the big showdown, where Elijah called down fire from heaven, and we saw that famous time when Baal was proved to be a kind of false god, and where Elijah said, let the God who answers by fire, him be God. And they went to Carmel. But I want you to know something about that, and it still amazes me. Elijah needed God to send fire from heaven and burn up a sacrifice. Yeah, you all know that story. This was the whole deal. We're going to lay a sacrifice on the altar, and then the God that answers by fire, he's God. How many of you have an impossible something that you want God to do for you? Put up your hand if that's you. There's something that you, if your hand isn't up, please don't leave this place until you've prayed about something. Because we're supposed to walk in faith to accomplish the impossible. Are you hearing me? So let's ask again. How many of you can think of something you cannot achieve? It is impossible in your own strength that you want to see God do. Right. Now, honestly and truthfully, because I'm not there yet, I still believe that if I had been in Elijah's place, I would have really quickly nipped down to Tesco's. And I would have bought some fire lighters just to help God a little. How many of you know God needs help? I think I'd have gone down to Tesco's, bought some fire lighters, you know, just to have them in the background, in the ready, just in case. Because, of course, I have to protect God's reputation. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But what did Elijah do? He poured water on the altar. He made the impossible even more impossible. Because he believed in a God of the impossible. Are you hearing me? So often, we're trying to bring God's purposes to pass. We're doing everything in a natural perspective. And you know, the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And so there is the faith, you know, faith without works is dead. But that's totally different to stepping out of God's purposes and saying, God, I think you need a little help. God has been speaking to me. Last weekend at the encounter, I mean, God, oh, the depth of what he did in my heart on that Saturday morning about surrender. I mean, God changed me last weekend. But I feel like what he started, I haven't got a clue how long it's going to take him to finish. Because I think I haven't got a clue what surrender really is yet. But I believe that Judah, I haven't sat down and worked out how many years it was. It was quite a lot of years, probably about 23 years between that moment and the next time we see Judah appear on the scene. But in that season, he was allowing God to do a deep work. The moment I say I'm somehow exempt or not in need, you know, I keep thinking of that old song. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, Jesus says, I haven't come for people who think they're fine. I've come as a physician to help those who know they've got a problem. And I believe that what Judah did in these years is surrender. You see, let me explain what I mean. I'm gonna finish the story and then we're gonna come back to this because I believe that God really wants to speak to us. You see, after this long season, 4 chapters and probably about 23 years of what looked like silence, we then see Judah again. But you know, if we weren't told his name, I don't think you and I would recognize him. Are you hearing me? Have you ever met somebody after a long time and thought, wow, they've changed so much, I barely know them. And when we see him come on the scene again, this was, and I'm going to read 2 verses to you in Genesis. The first time we see him speak up, he was behaving like a firstborn, even though he wasn't one. Because he said, you know what, I'm going to accept responsibility for the well-being of my family. I'm going to rise up on the inside. I'm going to allow myself to be available for God to do something good. Are you hearing me? And so he spoke up. Him and his brothers and his father, they were really suffering as a result of the famine. They'd been to Egypt once. They'd got some food, but that food had run out, and they'd gone back home. And he was the one that said, Dad, listen, you need to let us go back and get more food from Egypt, from this man who is ruling in Egypt, who has food. And his dad was saying, you know, I can't let this happen, because the agreement was that they couldn't go back if they didn't go back to Egypt without Benjamin. Benjamin hadn't gone first time, and Joseph, we know it was Joseph, said, you know, you can only come again if you bring your younger brother. So this is where we see how Judah approached his father. In Genesis 43:9, he says, I myself will be surety for him, meaning Benjamin. From my hand you shall require him. And if I don't bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. This is a man who had died to self. Are you hearing me? This is a man who had surrendered his life under the mighty hand of God. This is a man who was saying, I don't live for me anymore. I don't live so that I can look good. I don't live so that I can be fine and well and dandy. My life is laid out for my brothers. And then, you know the story probably, but then exactly what his father had dreaded seemed to be coming to pass when Joseph basically said, no, you can't have Benjamin. He has stolen from me. And again, we see this man, Judah, stand up. And in Genesis 44:33, Judah says, please let your servant, please let me remain as a slave to you instead of the lad Benjamin, and let the lad go up with his brothers. This was a man who had surrendered. This was a man who'd reached the point where he said, I'm not living life for myself. You see, let me say something. A leader is a leader is a leader. You know, there are leaders. You know, we can all be leaders. I really believe that. We can all rise up as leaders. In fact, I remember the time when we were teaching School of Leaders many, many years ago, and there was this gentleman sitting there who had four children, and he said, but I really don't know if I've got what it takes to be a leader. And I remember looking at him going, four kids? I mean, hat off already. I mean, the hardest leadership job ever is raising children. And we all have the equipment to do that, okay? So I believe everyone can be leaders, but some people have a very, very strong leadership gift on the inside of them. How many of you know what I'm talking? How many of you know you've got that? You have a very, like, you can't help but lead. Put up your hand if you know that's you. Yeah, and that's some people just, it's impossible not to lead. You know, you'll try and sit and look, you know, where you're, but you lead. But you see, a leader is a leader is a leader. But our heart determines where we lead people. We'll always be leading. But where are we leading people? You see, at first, Judah led his brothers into sin. And now, Judah was leading his brothers into salvation because of transformation from the inside out. Are you hearing me? You see, there is an amazing scripture. We prayed using it at our all night on Friday. 1 Chronicles 5 verse 2 says, Judah prevailed. Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came a ruler. If we can have that up there, that is 1 Chronicles 5. In fact, I'll read verses 1 and 2. 1 Chronicles 5, verses 1 and 2. Do you remember I said at the beginning that every story in Scripture is told for you? Right now, say, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. You see, amen. Verse 1 first, please. 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1. So it says, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. Reuben was the firstborn. He was the one with the rights. He was the one who should have got the inheritance. But because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph. Say, you see, do you see then something happened here? Joseph became the spiritual firstborn. So it was going to be Reuben, and now it's Joseph. Says the son of Israel, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. Next verse. Yet Judah prevailed over his brothers. I want to articulate it differently. Yet Judah prevailed over being the middle child. Yet Judah prevailed over his mistakes. You see, he betrayed his brother. Do you know one of the things the enemy tries to do is keep the mistakes of the past like a noose around our necks, where we're constantly carrying this sense where I can't rise up because. Are you hearing me? Judah prevailed over his betrayal. Judah prevailed over the pain of all that loss. How many times do we look at our lives and say, but I've been through this, and I've been through that, and I've been through the other, and if we don't feel it disqualifies us, then we somehow feel like, you know, that the whole victim mentality makes us feel like, oh, do you know what? I just need to sit back a bit. I just need to pull back. I need to be in the shadows. You know what? There's just too much happened in my life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Judah prevailed over his mistakes. He prevailed over his pain. I remember the day. It was one of those monumental moments in my life when I laid down the sense of a victim mentality over me and my daughters. I remember the day when I said, this is no longer going to be my reason for not rising up. This is no longer going to be my excuse. My first daughter died, and then my second daughter, by age 6, she'd had about 15 operations. And there was something about going through that that made me feel entitled to special treatment, entitled to excuses, entitled to being let off for bad behavior. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I remember the day when I laid it down and I said, God, I am no longer going to allow my pain to be a reason to hold me back. Are you hearing me? There's nothing that we go through that God can't completely heal. But there has to be a decision. I surrender. I give it up, God. I give up my mistakes. I surrender them. I believe that your blood is more powerful than my mistakes. You see, every time we think that our error excludes us, we're saying Jesus' blood isn't strong enough for my sins. Are you hearing me? You see, Judah prevailed over so many different issues. And then he prevailed over promiscuity. He prevailed over, I mean, if you read the story, you'll see it was just the most horrible mess that he made, of just letting people down and then ultimately sleeping with a woman he believed was a prostitute. But he prevailed even over promiscuity, even over every mistake he made. And I believe that the way that Judah prevailed was a level of surrender, a level of just saying, do you know what, God, it's not about me. It's about what you want to do through me. It's not about how I look. It's about how you look. It's not about anything that I'm about. It's about you. You know, my husband challenged me about this area of surrender, and I really didn't know what he was on about. Because he said to me, Joe, you need to surrender more. And I was thinking, what do you mean? I thought I was surrendered. And then God just started to show me so many examples of a lack of surrender. You know, wanting to make sure everyone does it in a certain way. Control. Lack of surrender. Lack of believing and trusting that God's got this. Are you hearing me? There is a level of surrender that in some mysterious, supernatural way leads to the greatest success you will ever, ever, ever experience. There is a level of surrender that says, I give up on being the boss of my life. I give up on every excuse that has excluded me from your purposes. I give up on seeing my pain as a reason. I give up on seeing my mistakes as a reason. And instead, I say to you, Lord God, here, you can use every part of my heart, every piece of my life. May you be glorified. You see, we get to look at Judah's life. And we get to learn from this man of God about praise. We get to see what leadership is. We get to know, isn't it amazing, that when God, the great I am, who knows all things, was choosing which of those 12 sons would carry his seed, just think about that. God chose Judah. God chose a man who was full of mistakes, but who had the humility to lay it all down. God chose a man who must have had 1,000 questions if you read Genesis 38. And yet someone who laid them all down before Jesus and said, I surrender. God chose a man who was imperfect. And out of that man raised up the one who not only became the tribe which produced the lion, but a father of a nation, and one whose name is on our lips again and again. I want to ask you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you just shut your eyes in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Judah prevailed, Scripture says. He prevailed. He arose out of every issue in his life, and he fulfilled his highest possible potential. He gave up his own ambitions and desires. Sacrificed what he wanted for the sake of bringing glory. He sacrificed self for his brothers. Right now, I just want you to shut your eyes. And I want to give you an opportunity. You know, if while I've been speaking, you have sense that God is calling you to a greater level of surrender. Maybe you realize you've been trying to manage things, control things. Maybe you need to surrender certain experiences or periods of your life which you felt have disqualified you, or you felt have marked you. And you're saying, I realize now, it's the enemy lying. Whichever it is, whether you just sense God saying, I'm calling you into greater surrender, or you sense him saying, I want you to lay down every reason why you couldn't arise. Would you just lift both hands high in the presence of God? Thank you, Jesus. Just lift them high. I'm always moved by when the prophet said to Hezekiah, hit the ground with your staff. And he only did it 3 times. I don't know if it was Hezekiah. He only did it 3 times. And he said, if you'd only done it 6 or 7. Sometimes we don't realize that the extent of how we respond to the word, God sees it. And with your hands raised high right now, whatever it is the Lord is speaking to you about, I want to encourage you to talk to the Lord. If it's something that you've seen as the reason why you can't arise, lay it down right now. Just tell the Lord, I give it up. I give up that excuse. I give up that reason. Maybe there's something in your life that he's asking you to surrender. Or maybe he's saying it's time for you to walk in greater surrender. Just talk to the Lord right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray that we would be a people who surrender all to you, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would be a peculiar people who give up what is ours so that we can have fully what is yours. Father, have your way in our lives, we pray. Just with your hands raised, I want to lead you in prayer. Let's all pray together. If you just say, Heavenly Father, my heart is your heart. My life is your life. Have your way in me. Do what you need to do in me so you can do what you want to do through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.